Welcome to Signs of the Times. I'm Dr. Willard Register, and today we're very fortunate. In fact, I'm happy. I have a friend of mine here from back east. Where is it that you live now?
Near Baltimore, Maryland.
Near Baltimore, Maryland. That puts him right near the center of all things, the Washington, D.C. So, Ed, I'm glad to have you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I want for my audience to know that Ed Reed, for years, has been telling people how to spend their money, or better yet, how not to spend it. In fact, he's written several books. Now, here's some books. We're not going to talk too many about these books, but I happen to have these on my library. So even at the door, he talks about Jesus coming, ready or not, Sunday's coming, battle of the spirits. But those are not going to be the subjects today. But he has a book that are going to be what we're going to be talking about. It's your money, isn't it? Now, I know, and we're going to talk about three sessions, so I'm happy that Mr. Reed is going to be able to stay with us for 3 weeks. So, Ed, you have had a many, many hundreds of presentations on telling people how to keep their money safe under the mattress or down at the bank or in that tin can under the tree. Now, today we live in very crucial financial times. So I want you to tell our people. Now, I also believe, and the audience knows that I'd like the Bible, I want you also to tell us, especially about financial problems, as it has to do. Is it different today than when we were 1929, just before the crash, that everything was the roaring 20s? You've heard of the roaring 20s, and then we've gone through some roaring 20s, too, since then. And now, all of a sudden, I find that people are starting to kind of wonder, where is the next dollar coming from? And what am I going to do with it when I get it? So, is it true in your mind that the end time, the times in which we live, may be having something to do with just before Christ comes? Or as we see the extraordinary scenes that the Bible speaks of, could that have something to do with our money and how we should handle it in these days?
Well, indeed, the Bible does talk about that. In fact, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Women will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. So that certainly describes our day. When you have people getting $40 million bonuses, at the same time, millions of people are losing their homes. And James, the 5th chapter, talks about rich men heaping together treasure for the last days and so on. So I think that it is a sign of the end. Financial markets, you know, people who watch these things have seen these cycles up and down and up and down. We call them the bear market and the bull market and so on, up and down. But what we're facing today is not one of those typical things. We're in very unusual circumstances today. And, of course, most people understand about it. When people are losing jobs, we have nearly 10% unemployment and gas prices nearly $4 a gallon. I mean, something is wrong with that picture. And the bottom line is the smartest people in the country do not know what to do.
That's exactly right. They're struggling. As anybody that's watching, and I think most people are watching today, more than they have before, they're interested in what's going on. Of course, many people, and I don't think it is the way that it should be, but many people look to Washington, D.C. for their solutions.
Yes.
And I think more people are looking to Washington, D.C., but we have 47 million people on food stamps. This is catastrophic in my mind.
It is.
As I'm talking about the country that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how those people that go to the markets with a book full of food stamps, I guess they get them in books. I don't know. I've never used any yet. But these people must have a different outlook on life than they did 10 years ago when they didn't have food stamps. How's that playing out today in the marketplace?
Well, it's an unusual situation. And, you know, with the budget being way over in the United States and most states, for example, they're wanting to cut back in some cases on what's called entitlement programs because you're at a certain level or whatever that you get these things. And, of course, the people are pushing back on it because they're used to that. And so it's a hard situation. I can tell you that many people criticize the government, as you know, and the government is now $14 trillion in debt. And, of course, we just say that easily, but, you know, a trillion is a huge amount of money. a million is a thousand thousands, and a billion is a thousand million, and a trillion is a thousand billion, and the government is $14 trillion in debt. Well, it's easy for us to criticize the government, but they're kind of representing us in a way because people themselves are in big debt. In fact, in America, the average American carries, credit card debt over from one month to the next, and the total amount, $915 billion every month, is unpaid.
How much? How much?
$915 billion.
It's unpaid.
Nearly $1 trillion.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Now, this word, you used an interesting word that just, I get cold chills when I hear it, and the word is entitlements. Mm-hmm. That word carries with it an educational dimension, which I just hate. Mm-hmm. Because as kids grow up and they hear that word entitlement, they hear that word used in other ways, but they apply it. If I'm entitled to it, why shouldn't I get it?
Yeah.
And so I don't know how to handle that. And we have a government, a people, a populace that seem to be happy with the 47 million food stamps. Say you're president for the day. Maybe I'll make you president for a week. What would you do with the entitlement programs?
Well, there's several things you could do. I think maybe this is a little distraction even to the average person, but I can tell you what I think could happen. First of all, in the area of Medicare, Medicaid, those kinds of things, and most of our adult life have worked to pay into those programs, so we could say justifiably that if we've paid into Social Security, we should receive some benefits from it and so on. But the big problems with it is people try to take advantage of things, and there are also Medicare fraud is in the billions of dollars, as you know. And from the standpoint of someone who's practiced medicine for many years, you understand from that community alone how there can be problems, and there are. So to answer your question, if I were president, I would put forth some kind of a commission, not only to deal with it and investigate it, but to actually deal with the fraud, not only in that area, Medicare, for example, but also in food stamps and all kinds of things. It's incredible that, people are collecting benefits from their dead relatives. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things happening. And then, of course, in the government spending, you have programs on top of programs that are all doing the same thing. You have 40 programs doing the same thing. So there's just a redundancy that doesn't need to occur.
Now, is there any special way or any special information or advice that you would have today? Because you've been through these ups and downs, the bulls and the bears, too. I don't know how much money you have in the market, but at least you know what's going on out
sure.
there. Is there any special advice that you would have for our viewers that would help them to realize, number one, it's not the end of the world,
Yeah. But
there is a lot of things that you can do. Now, I know that we're going to talk about some of these principles in our next program,
sure. But
without duplicating too much, is there any advice that you can give? Say that I'm a person. Say that I don't even know anything about the Bible, but I'm sure struggling to make ends meet. Can you help me?
I think there's two biblical principles that would be very appropriate today. One of them is to put God first in your life. I mean, I'm an attorney and I'm a financial planner, and I've taught this stuff for a long, long time. But if someone were to ask me, rather than talking about the stock market, I would tell them two things. First thing, put God first in your life. In other words, Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and following, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Then God says, I'll bless you, and I'll bless your family, I'll bless your business, that kind of thing. So it's really, I think, important to put God first in your life. That's what I would say. The second one is, people are asking me, well, the stock market had such a tumble a couple, 3 years ago. Is it time to invest again? And my answer is always the same thing. If you have any debts at all, that's your best investment choice. Invest in your own debts. Because whatever the interest rate you're paying on your debts, if you pay off your debts, you're going to get that much interest in return. And there's no more security than investing in your own debts. You're going to get guaranteed results. Get yourself out of debt so that whatever happens in the economy, you're not going to be, in debt over your ears and lose all your stuff.
I really want to stress that to our viewers, what you just said. I think that is the best advice that you could possibly give. I talk to people quite a little. I'm out and about talking about, well, I got this money, what should I do with it? And I have always said to them, is your house paid off?
Yes.
And many times they're looking to what stock to invest in.
Yes.
But they still have this big mortgage. So I have told them, and I think this applies also to credit cards. If you have some extra money, pay off your debts.
Yes.
So that's it. Number one, have a right relationship. Put with the Lord first.
Right.
Number two, pay off your debts.
There's another thing that I could share, and that is that a lot of people do not save today. Most people spend everything they earn, no matter how much it is. And so I would suggest live on less than your income and save a little bit every month. So if you have an emergency, if your car breaks down, your refrigerator goes on the blink or whatever, that you can do whatever it takes to fix these things or to replace them without having to go into debt to do it. So save a little bit every month. I think that's a very valuable thing to do.
I think so, because anybody that's realistic knows that something's going to happen. I mean, the computer's going to break down.
Oh, sure.
Or we could depend on that.
Yes.
You know? We could depend on that. We may even have to get a pair of shoes repaired instead of buying a new pair. So
yes.
To have a little money away. Now, talking about that, having a little money set aside, where should I keep it?
Well, that's a good question. And I happen to be one, and I believe you are too, who practices what they preach. So knowing that as you get older, you don't want to be in a risky position with your income and your assets, the principal amount that you've saved up over the years, because we're not going to live long enough to recapitalize if something should happen to all of our money.
Yes.
So you want to put it in a safe place. Unfortunately, the safe places also have some questions about them. For example, government-backed securities would be a safe place typically. But, of course, the government is $14 trillion in debt. So, I mean, your question is a very good one. But, of course, the government has the unique ability to print money, which others don't have. So probably that would be a safe place. But you have to be satisfied now, if you have it in, you know, something like a CD or a T-bill where there's government insurance, to get 1% or 1.5% return if you found a good place. But would you rather get the low interest and protect your money, or would you rather have the promise of a huge amount? The bottom line is everybody knows, and we've known this our whole lives, that the higher interest you get, the higher risk you're going after. And whether you believe it or not, whether they tell you or not, it's always true. So the whole bottom line is you're talking about something very important here, and that is, where should we invest? And I think something very simple: first invest in your own debts, then invest in something that's secure and not risky. And then here's a good one: invest in the cause of God. Because we all believe as Christians that we have a work to do, the great gospel commission to take the work of God around the world. And if we can do that by helping with surplus funds that we have, what a blessing it would be. And no time like the present to do that.
You know, I didn't plan to do this, but I have some marks in my billfold. These are from Germany.
Oh, my.
When I was
right
in
after
Germany,
the war.
Yeah. When I was in Germany, World War II.
Yeah.
Not World War I. So.
Yeah.
World War II, I was billeted. That is, they put us in a house.
Yeah.
It was a millionaire's house. And I walked into this closet, and it was a big closet, and there were a lot of shelves around, and on those shelves were a lot of books stood up like this. And in those side of those books were pockets of money.
Oh, my.
Now, here is a two mark, German mark. So... And here is a 5 German mark. Now, you're seeing a little history here. The point that I'm making, and I want our viewers to watch this, is because I believe, and this is my opinion,
yes,
is what's going on with our dollar today. Because you just made a statement now that scares me to death. We can print our money. The government can print their money. Well, that every time they print another one, your dollar goes down in value. I hope our people know that. So then here's another, and it's a 10 mark. So there's a 2, a 5, and a 10. Now here is 1,000 marks.
Wow.
Now I took these out to the street there in Germany. This is World War II, and we were moving across, and the war was pretty well over, not quite over yet. And I talked to the people there in Germany, and they said, well, that 2 mark bill would buy just as much as this 1,000 mark bill a couple of months ago. But then here is... 1,000 mark. Well, okay. Here is 100 millionen mark.
Oh, my.
And this 100 million marks would not buy any more than that 2 marks over that period of time during the Weimar Republic.
That's amazing.
During that period of time. Now, interesting as it may seem, I'm not quite done with my story, because they too could print their money, but they ran out of money and they didn't put ink on the back of the 100 million mark.
Oh my.
They couldn't afford the ink.
Yeah.
So, like I said, that's my opinion.
I think your opinion is well founded on fact, for this simple reason, that no family could borrow money to get out of debt.
Exactly.
And the government is now borrowing money every day to take care of its obligations. And this cannot go on. And everybody understands that the only answer is to everybody tighten up and be willing to live frugally, or we're going to get inflation like you're talking about.
But you see, that's not happening, is it? Because in Greece, isn't that why the riots are? They're saying, look, folks, we have to tighten our belt.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, no, not now.
Yeah.
And so they're burning down the buildings. The same thing happens in a home. If you happen to be a strong personality and you finally say to your spouse, we've got to tighten the belt here, you may have a riot in your home. Because that's the only realistic way to do it, is to, we've got to stop, as you just mentioned a moment ago, start spending less than we earn.
One other interesting thing I could tell you, in unusual times, there are always scam artists around who want to call you up and tell you how you can make quick money, those kinds of things, or where you put your money to be safe, or something you can invest in, and so on. And I would tell people to be very wary of that, because during these times, people are eager, you know, to get involved in something that will make a little more money to supplement their retirement income or whatever. Sure. And we also see there are more people gambling now. And unfortunately, just recently I was flying from Sacramento back east, and we were flying over Las Vegas. It was evening. And the person sitting beside me could see the lights of Las Vegas. And I said, just to think, that whole city was built on the backs of losers. And it is absolutely true. Somebody asked me one time, what's the worst investment you could make? And I said, well, there's only one investment worse than buying a lottery ticket. You know what that is? Buying two of them. And the reason is simple, because it says right on it, chances of winning, one in 129 million. That means for everybody that spends a dollar, somebody's lost 129 million. This is incredible, you understand. So I would think that don't go after the scam artist. In other words, if it sounds too good to be true, it likely is. And also don't put, you know, your good money after bad. I'm just telling people, be wise.
It's strange, though, because I see on my internet where the publishing, the PCH, is it? The publishing that has...
Oh, Publishers Clearinghouse?
Publishing Clearinghouse.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got my email. Maybe I gave it to them unknowingly, because you can do that. But now, the other day, I just saw, you better sign up before 24 hours from now to win $1 million a month for the rest of your life. Well, boy, I grabbed that and shook it and really got going, right? $1 million a month the rest of my life?
Yeah. Well, typically they want you to buy some magazines or some books or something as well.
Oh, yeah. There's got a whole... I ran through it just to see. They got a whole... And, then, of course, I didn't buy anything. So when I got all done, it said, wouldn't you look again?
Yeah.
So I did it again to see what the end point was. And they allowed me to check out. The first time I tried to check out, they said, well, you lose your chance to win.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'll go through this again, because I just zipped the thing down, you know. But they continue to say, you know, you can't win if you don't enter. Well, that's true.
Your big question to me earlier is, we're in unusual times, what should people do? There's a couple other things I could share with you, and one of them is this idea of unemployment. I don't think in my life I've ever seen 10% last for a couple of years. You know, this is very unusual. These are unprecedented times. So what I would suggest is to be diligent in your efforts to seek work if you're unemployed. If you have a job, be the best worker you can be so you can keep your job. You know, be very diligent. And I would make this a matter of prayer that God would direct in your work situation, because when and if entitlements are cut back...
And they will be
eventually. They will have to be. If you're not working, you're going to be up a stump for sure. These are unusual times, really, when you think about it.
And that 10% of unemployment, that's a phony figure.
Well, that's only the people looking for work.
Yeah, because they think that it's closer to 21%. I heard the figures the other day.
Yes.
Of people that just have given up, and they evidently have gone on the dole, and or have a little money, so they think, I'm not going to look for a while.
Yes.
And those kind of people that maybe have a little money, so they just quit looking, so they get off of the data. They're no longer part of the data.
Yeah.
They have in their mind, though, that things are going to get better.
Yes.
Now, knowing what we know and regarding Scripture, I'm asking you to be a prophet now, and I know that you disavow that, but do you see a bright horizon ahead?
Well, unfortunately, the Bible indicates that near the end of time that there's going to be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And I can tell people with quite, certainty that it's important to understand that as Christians, we trust God for our eternal life. But eventually, we'll need to trust Him for our day-to-day life. And that's pretty important to understand. So in the area of working, I would tell people also, if you're not working, be willing to take any kind of a job other than something, sinful, like being a go-go dancer, a bartender or something. But almost anything you could do, do it, because that's going to be a blessing to you. And the Lord will honor you as He did Joseph in doing His work. And you can get, increases and raises and so on. But it's very important to not just say, well, this doesn't pay enough, I'm not going to take that job. I think it'd be very important to take any reasonable work.
Now, I think your advice, again, is perfect, except I see, I give as many Bible studies as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, when you talk about the Bible, you start to get into the times in which we live now.
Right.
And you talk about the Sabbath and people not being able to work on the Sabbath. And it brings up a word that is very critical to this kind of talk. Now, you talk to people, well, pray. But that brings up the word faith, doesn't
yes.
it? Now, how does that go over? See, somebody, because I talked about Revelation 13, where it says you will neither be able to buy or sell.
Right.
And they say, well, how are we going to make it through that? We can't do this. What are you trying to tell us here? See, these are the things, these are financial ramifications having to do with the end of time.
Right.
Now, we may not be quite there yet. But
one thing I would answer to that is, in the very first thing I mentioned, to trust God and put Him first. Part of that would be to be responsible and faithful in what the Bible calls the tithe. And that's returning a tenth of our income or increase to the Lord. And God doesn't need the money, obviously. We all understand that. But He did the tithing system for our benefit. So we would learn to trust Him. And when we do that, our faith can get bigger and bigger and bigger. And when you read through the Bible, it is very clear that those who tried to do things on their own frequently lost out. And those who trusted in God were blessed.
Right.
And we can look back on our lives, both of us, and just see, when we've been faithful, God has blessed us. There's really no question about that.
No question about that in my life. I've been faithful with the tithe. As far as I'm a sinner, but I have been faithful in tithe. That's something that you can document.
Yeah.
You put it down. I God blessed me here, and you have it. So you can say, oh, okay, I'm okay there. That may not apply to every aspect of your life.
Well, people need to understand also that we don't tithe from a legalistic perspective to try to earn salvation, but it's in response to experienced grace that we've had in our lives, and just to thank God for the opportunity to be a part of His family and to recognize that this is an important factor, response to God.
Yeah, we actually don't give Him tithe. We return His tithe to Him.
Yes.
It's already His. So I know we're kind of running out of time, but we're going to talk about tithe in one of the programs that I've got it scheduled for you, because I think tithing is an important thing, and I think a lot more people out there know about tithes and really pay it. And I think it would be good for us to talk to them, as maybe it's applied to our life, that it actually does work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that you can talk to a believer, like you said, put God first, and they're thinking, put God first, and I can't even find a job. That's tough.
Yes.
And you're asking him to come up with a good deal of faith,
Well, we don't want to think of prayer as just a cop-out. Well, go pray about it. But we actually have to follow biblical principles in our lives for God's providential leading and answers to prayer to come about for us. I think that's important also.
Well, I always kind of say it this way. You should pray as though what you do has no effect. And then when you get off your knees, you should work as hard as you possibly can, as though prayer has no effect.
I think so.
And if you put that combination together, I think it's a winning combination.
True.
God, I think
There are many Bible stories that would uphold that.
Yeah.
You know, when the Lord blessed Hezekiah, for example, in facing the Syrians, they did all they could to prepare, and then God blessed them.
That's right.
Yeah.
He said, okay, I'll take care of it, but you got to go sing.
Yeah. So, that's true. That's why.
So they had to go sing, you know?
Yeah.
So they had to do their part. And I think that's true in our day-to-day activities. And I think I would like our viewers to know that you have to do your part. I know you go to church, and I'm sure you hear the preacher say, pray about it. And I'm sure you say, oh, I've been praying, but nothing's happening. Well, what's that, a two-second prayer? I don't think God honors two-second prayers too much. I think we really need to have a prayer life. We need to learn to have that part of our everyday life, you know. And so I hear these commentators on the radio and television, and they talking about somebody that just died, and our prayers are with the family. I wonder if they really are.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've ever prayed in their whole life. But it sounds good on TV, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think they think just their thoughts in that time.
Right.
You know, there's a Bible verse, Isaiah 26, verse 3, which says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." A lot of people have had stress over their
finances. Because he trusteth in thee.
Yes, because they trust in God. So that's why, coming back to where we started, let's trust God and put him first.
Put him first. Okay. Mm-hmm. And trust, that's faith, goes with prayer.
Yes.
Those two are a winnable situation.
And diligence.
And what?
Diligence.
And diligence. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have any final thoughts here just before we're running out of time?
Well, I thank you for this opportunity, and I say, since we are in unusual times today, it's more important than ever to get back to following biblical principles of money management.
I appreciate it. Would you mind having a closing prayer with us?
I'd be honored. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege we have of knowing you and of being able to study out these principles that you've talked about in your word. Managing our money has been talked about more than any other topic in the Bible. So I pray that you'll help us to be students of Scripture and to understand those principles. We thank you for the opportunity of sharing today. And may the viewers be blessed, and may our hearts be open to your leading in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ed, for being here. And for the viewers, I want to remind you, because I think I have a second or two left, the advice which has been given is put Lord first and then pay off all the debts before you use that extra few dollars to go and invest it in something as bad maybe as the lottery tickets at the marketplace. They buy them at the marketplace. That's terrible, isn't it, Ed? It's terrible.
It's amazing.
Thank you and goodbye.